Thank you, Andy, for reading, and everybody for the thoughts that jumped out. When I read the passage, I was very excited. I feel like I got on the phone with Christian to talk about it, and I actually hadn't known what the verse was before we got on the phone. So I just glanced at it and I felt sort of struck by the end of the set of verses, which is this question of sort of like, it seems so simple what God is asking for us. And sometimes we make it very, very complicated as to what we think we should be doing, or what, other churches or other family members or other parts of society tell us what is good and what is right and what are the things we should be doing when, really, I don't know, I feel like we have this whole giant Bible and a lot of it boils down to, maybe this last phrase. But I was also thinking about the concept of right relationship that we've been exploring together this season. And so I went back to the passage that I think, Andy, you brought in from Jay Medina, who is the shaman and writer who we talked about this concept of what does it mean to be right and in right relationship. And I went back and I read the article that this came from. And what I appreciated about it was it sort of actually started in an earlier place before it got to the part of talking about what does it mean to be in right relationship. The writer was talking about what does relationship mean? How do we explore that concept to begin with? And I really appreciated, they were sort of writing about it from the perspective of loving the land and having a relationship to the land where they live in Portland, or near Portland, I guess. But they started with this sort of metaphor of, if we think about the idea of relationship, what do people do when they're in relationship? And some of the things they had to say, they compared it to a relationship of lovers. Lovers enjoy just spending time in each other's presence, attuning to their beloved. They bring their bodies and their energies into the same place together. Lovers memorize their beloved's habits and quirks just as much of the contours of their face, and they delight in taking care of and thinking of the other. The relationship that they talk about, they're talking about being in connection to a person. It's not the idea of love that you're in love with. You're in love with this particular person and their particular features and their flaws and their fabulous things. And so I thought, looking at the Bible verse, it was an interesting place to start to think about what are the relationships even that are in the verse. And we have, like a very obvious, God is talking about God's relationship with the people and the people's relationship with God. But in the set of passages, we also see sort of this prophet Micah, who's in relationship to the people and to us reading it somehow. And the people that Micah is calling to be in relationship to their history, and their both their history in terms of the facts that have happened, but also their history in terms of sort of like, how do these people think about themselves in relationship to their history and themselves in relationship to God and themselves in relationship to this idea of what is the right way to be doing, being a human, being on this earth. And I think, the thing that had struck me first reading the passage, which I think is up maybe for a lot of us in this moment of health pandemic, but also after a summer of uprisings around racial justice and just the situation in our country, thinking about sort of the specific topic tonight of right relationship with neighborhood and with nation is sort of on display how very fractured so many of our relationships are in the country between different groups, between different individuals, based on lines of identity, based on lines of racial identity, of gender identity, of sexuality, of all of these different things, of political identities that are like, maybe we're getting to the height of the clash that's about to happen in a few weeks. Maybe, at the polling box, or maybe in our mail-in ballots, or maybe in the streets, we'll see what's to come. But I think the piece of that that spoke to me, and the piece that I saw in this verse that was interesting, was thinking about that relationship to history and sort of how do we think about ourselves in connection to what's gone before, and how does what's come before inform how we are now. And in this passage, it's sort of interesting to see, God in all of God's glory is showing up to say, hey, you all are in, you know, maybe this difficult place and you're having hardship and you're crying out to God and you're saying, you know, maybe we could imagine God, them saying, God, why have you forsaken us? And what God has to say back is, you know, you've been through some horrible things before and I was there for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you through, you know, 40 years in the desert trying to get to a new place to be safe. I brought you through some terrible times. And, you know, all I asked of you is to stay in connection with me, is to stay in relationship with me. But somehow sort of in the angst about the difficult times, the people that God's talking to in this passage, they've sort of fallen back on these old habits, which is like, we're going to make sacrifices. We're going to bring all of these like wealthy, fancy things of oil and rams, which is actually, you know, not what God is asking for, but it might be the way that I can connect it to now and sort of like the things that we think we're supposed to do. Like, I think for myself in this time, you know, I've spent a lot of time, as a Black biracial person, as a queer person, thinking about identity, thinking about like, how did we get to this point in our country where everyone's fighting and nobody can agree? And it seems like it should be so clear that one side is on the right side of history and one side is not. And yet, you know, all of the frameworks I've been able to learn, all of the different, whether we're talking about, you know, when it was my parents' time, it was colorblindness is the way forward. And now that it's our time, and then it was maybe it was multiculturalism and we'll have, you know, Cinco de Mayo in the schools. And now we're talking about different frameworks and yet we're still in the same place, which makes me think of these, you know, what these folks were doing back then of like, well, you know, I guess we'll just figure out how to sacrifice this thing again. Like, I guess we'll just try to find some kind of way to wrap our human brains around how do we bend this situation to our will. When really, I think what I see in this passage is that what God is asking of us is actually to figure out how to surrender into knowing that we can't fix it. You know, I don't have control as a person, even as a person who's like spent my professional career trying to figure out how to do racial justice work. I don't have the power to make police departments be less racist. I don't have the power to bend the legislators to my will, to make them pass laws that will create reparations for Black people in this country. I think that humans have a role to play in making some change, but I think that maybe the root of the frustration that I see in the people in this passage that I can connect to is just feeling like I want it fixed now. I want the right answer. I want people to see that they're bad and we're good and like everything should be fixed. And that's, you know, our human nature coming in of wanting to place things into binaries of good and bad, of right and wrong, of it should be simple to fix this, when I think imagining that like some kind of framework or one politician even is going to get us out of this is really thinking too small and thinking too small about the problem, and maybe also coming back to the idea of relationship with self, thinking too largely of ourselves as individuals in this equation. And so I think maybe what I find most challenging about this passage is that call to really sit with, you know, what is God asking of me? What is God asking of us in this moment to be in right relationship to people around us, in our neighborhood, to people around us in this country? And maybe the answer is, you know, trying to figure out how to rely less on my own will, rely less on my own understanding as an individual, which, you know, might be falling into these patterns of Black and white and us versus them, of right and wrong, but to place more faith in God, in thinking about, you know, if I think about, you know, my history and maybe what my ancestors have been through, there were some horrible things. And yet, you know, we made it here. And yet slavery happens. And, you know, then the Civil War happened, and then Reconstruction happened, and then the Civil Rights Movement happened. And all of these things are giant movements that people have played a role in, but that people ultimately, you know, we don't have control over that. What we do have control over is our ability to slow down and to really consider, I think, that aspect of relationship. Who am I connected to? Who are my collective? And how do I really think about taking care of that space in between me and you, taking care of that space in between, someone I might have a disagreement with so that I can sort of cultivate the space to not react out of old habits and to not react out of old ways of being, but to really make space for faith and make space for God and make space for, you know, love in the relationship, for understanding, seeking to understand other people the same way that I should be seeking to understand, you know, myself and my own connectedness to all of that history. I think it's a really beautiful passage, and it's one that I want to keep reflecting on through, I think, what might be a very difficult election season, but hopefully one that on the other side of it, you know, we can do all of our phone banking, which is a good thing to do, and our door knocking, and we also, you know, have the opportunity to give it up to God and see what's waiting for us on the other side. Yeah. And I think with that, I'll turn it over to y'all. And I would love to hear if there are other thoughts or other stories that this brings up for y'all.